We are on page 12 in Parshas Bereishis. We are top of the page. First line, Pasuk 9, Pasuk Tes. Okay, the last thing we're learning is the Torah is not going in chronological order, but the Torah now discussing the creation of man at great length, okay? So he says he made him from the ground, and then he blew the neshama into him, and he became alive. Then it says Hashem planted the garden of Gan Eden, and he put, he made the garden in the east of Gan Eden, and he put Adam that he created. Okay? That's what we're up to now. What's wrong? Okay. Vayatzmach Hashem alekim min ha'adama. Hashem caused to grow from the ground. This pasuk we learned last week, we didn't finish it. Even though Hashem created vegetation on Tuesday, on the third day, but like we learned, the various different opinions, it didn't go up above the ground. It stayed up to ground level. On the sixth day, after he created Adam, then Hashem made everything sprout out from the ground above. So it says, Hashem made grow. Vayatzmach, by the way, in Hebrew means, Hashem made grow. Mino Adam from the ground, kol eitz nechmad lamada, all trees that were pleasing to sight, v'tev l'maychol, and good to eat. Okay? So what does it mean? It means there are no barren trees. The pasuk says God made a bunch of beautiful trees to see and to eat. Now, barren trees are not nice to see. So obviously the pasuk is still telling us that Hashem made all the trees, there were no barren trees, their fruits made excellent food, meaning it also came because it also helped when you eat good food, it helps your intellect also. Okay, so Hashem made that. And then it says in the pasuk, Ve'etz ha'chayim b'teich ha'gan, he made the tree of life in the middle of the garden, Ve'etz ha'das tevera, and the tree of knowledge, the famous tree of knowledge of good and bad. Now it's interesting, the commentaries explain, it implies over here that in the middle of the garden were two trees, tree of knowledge and the tree of life. That's what the pasuk implies, because it says he made a bunch of trees, and in the middle of the garden he made the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. Okay, now some commentaries explain, interestingly, that because they're both in the middle of the garden, you can't have both in the middle of the garden. So some commentaries explain simply, yeah, it was in the garden, in the middle of the garden with these two trees. Some commentaries learn it was one tree divided into two. The Eitz HaDaas, the tree of knowledge, and the tree of life were actually one tree, okay, it was both. And it says like this, one second. Yeah. So the commentators are, how could two trees be exactly middle of the garden? So Ramban explains, it was like, in the middle of the garden was an enclosed garden bed, like you find in the middle of a garden, they make a middle, and over there was two trees. Some opinions that the Torah brings down, that the tree of knowledge encircled the tree of life. Tree of life was in the middle, like it says, and the tree of knowledge went around it, and it appeared to both be in the center. Rav Yosef Kimchi says there was only one tree. The tree branched into two, tree of life and tree of knowledge. Now, the tree of life, by the way, the first one, the Mefarshim explain, if somebody would eat from that tree, nobody ate from it yet, but if somebody would be able to eat from that tree, they would live a very long life, not forever. Because people don't live forever. But they would live a very long time. Eitz HaDaas Tevera.
They were supposed to live forever anyway before.
Yeah, but that wasn't the initial plan. I mean, Hashem knew he was going to sin, and we'll get there when we get to the sin. Okay, next interesting thing.
One tree, does that mean it was the same fruit in both branches?
No, probably not. I'm saying it wasn't. It does, well, Now the discussion is, what fruit was the tree of good and bad? The tree of knowledge, right? The Eitz HaChaim, it doesn't say what fruit grew on it. Okay? But the Eitz HaDaas, it's interesting. Everybody knows that in the secular world, they say it was an apple. Right? Adam ate from the apple. Nowhere in Torah is there such an opinion. You can understand where the Goyim get it from. But anyway, there are different opinions in the Medrash. What was this tree of knowledge? One opinion was, it was wheat that before the sin grew to the height of the cedars of Lebanon. It was a very lofty tree before the sin. It was a wheat, but instead of wheat growing from the ground, wheat actually grew a very tall tree. Another opinion says it was grapes. Another opinion says it was an esrig. Okay? And that's where the goyim get the mistake, because sometimes in Torah, tapuach, when it says tapuach, it means an esrig. It means an esrig, even though it's called tapuach, which literally means an apple. But the other hand, the Gemara Shabbos and the Gemara story of Matan Torah, it says over there, tapuach, and Taisa says, over there the word tapuach means an esrig. So that could be where the goyim get it from. And another opinion says it was a fig tree. Okay? I'll tell you in a second. But the question is, why didn't the Torah clearly say what fruit tree it was? Why didn't the Torah tell us what fruit tree it was? You have to have 10 opinions without God telling us clearly which was the opinion. So the Medrash says, he brings an interesting name of Yeshua ben Levi. Heaven forbid that we should know what the tree was. The Holy One blessed did not want to reveal what the tree was, for he was anxious to safeguard mankind's honor and his own, meaning nobody should say, oh, if it's a fig tree, let's say, yeah? Everybody say, oh, look what the fig tree did to humanity. All the problems in the world came because of the fig tree or an esrog tree. So God said, you know what? I want to keep the dignity of people, of mankind. I'm not going to tell you what it was. You can guess, you make up, but not guess. I mean, it's real according to theory. By the way, the only question is, how could they all be true? Now, according to Kabbalah, the Eitz HaDaas, the tree was a grape vine. In fact, it says in the Zohar, in Kabbalah, it says that when Hashem told Adam he can't eat from the tree, right, the tree of knowledge, you can't eat from it. It was not a permanent forbidden. It was only for 3 hours. The Zohar says, Adam and Yishim, by the time everything was created, it was like, if the day was 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening, Adam and Yishim created everything was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when Hashem said to Adam and Yishim, you cannot eat from the tree. Yeah? And at 6 o'clock when Shabbos began, the Zohar says, the plan was, what Arizal says, that Adam and Yishim are going to take the tree, the grape, squeeze it, and make Kiddush over it. Which means that the whole sin, the whole prohibition of eating from the tree of knowledge, according to Kabbalah, was only 3 hours. Which when we learn about the sin, when we get into a lot of details about the sin, we will discuss, you know, you can imagine, if I come and tell you, listen, this is really delicious food, you know, really delicious non-kosher food, but in 3 hours, you can eat it, it's going to be kosher. You have to be basically an animal not to be able to hold yourself back for 3 hours. You can't wait 3 hours and then eat it properly. And not only that, we're talking about Adam HaRishon, who was the formation of God's hand. I mean, he was the greatest of greatest. So he couldn't hold himself back for 3 hours. I mean, it's like, we'll get to there and discuss that aspect when we get there. But these are the different opinions. Now, according to the Targum, okay, according to Unklis, when it says that the person, what was the Eitz HaDaas Tevera, what did it mean? If a person ate from the tree, he would know the difference between good and evil. He would automatically know the difference between good and bad. Huh?
That's what started it all.
It started it all. Yeah, you forgot to say who started it. Who? The man or the woman?
The man.
Okay, everything's the man. The woman said, "You should have told me." I know those excuses we heard already. Okay, now
one second.
Okay, one time women did something wrong, and we just make a big deal out of it. Yeah. Okay, now just to explain it now a little bit. Before the sin, okay, there was the tree of knowledge of good and bad, which meant good and bad existed in the world, because it says the tree of knowledge of good and bad. Before the sin of Adam and Chava with the tree, so then good and bad were distinctly separate. Good was good and bad was bad. There was no mixture of the two. There was Eitz Hadas Tov and Ra, good and bad existed. Obviously, the Torah says evil existed, but it was separate from good. The terrible sin, spiritually, when he ate the tree, Hashem said, don't eat, and he ate. We do a lot of things worse than that, yeah? Big deal. What actually happened in the sin was he mixed, or to use a better word, homogenized, he mixed good and bad to the extent the Medrash says there is no good without bad, and there's no bad without good. Before the sin, good and bad existed, but they were separate. Good as was good, and bad was bad, and there was no mingling of the two. When Adam and Eve sinned, then what happened was there was no difference between, there was no separation anymore. Good was mixed with bad, and bad is mixed with good. There is no ultimate good, and there's no ultimate bad. And that was the terrible sin of it. Okay. Now, according to Sifurna, bad, we represents the person to choose sweet and even when it's harmful, and to reject bitter even when it's good. But that's the simple meaning of it. Okay, continue. Yes.
Why couldn't
you skip 3 hours? I didn't answer it yet.
Wasn't good on that.
The answer, one second. The answer, okay, I'll tell you now. Well, I'll cheat.
You don't have patience.
Huh?
People, they don't have patience.
Well, they don't have to if they don't have not a doctor. What happened over here was like this. It was so important. Okay, let me elaborate then, okay? I was going to leave it for later. We'll do it now. The Gemara says, first the Gemara thought, one way, without getting into the whole thing. The Gemara says, a person who's obligated to do something and does it is greater than a person who's not obligated to do something and doesn't. Now, simply, in the secular world, so to speak, a volunteer should be greater than a person who's paid, because they're doing it voluntarily. They don't have to do it. But according to Torah, and not the outcome of Torah, initially there was a different thought, but Torah says, Godol ha-metzuva va'isa, one who's commanded to do something and does it, is greater memisha ena metzuva va'isa. Greater than somebody who's not commanded to do it and doesn't. Why? Because if somebody is not commanded to do something, the Yetzer Hara doesn't come to try to stop you from doing it. Why should he waste his time with you? You don't have to do it anyway. It's not important for you to do it. If it's not important for you to do it, the Yetzer Hara is not going to come and get in your way to stop you from doing it. But when you have to do it, that's when the Yetzer Hara comes along and tries to persuade you not to do it, because now it's important for you to do it. You ever see a very interesting kids? Not anymore. Kids used to. They wanted to fast. Tisha, but they wanted to, the adults don't want to fast. The kids want to fast. Yeah? The kids want to stay up a whole night shavuos. The adults don't want to. They'd rather sleep. Why? Because the kids don't have to do it. If they don't have to do it, the Yetzer Hara doesn't come and say, don't do it. It doesn't convince you not to do it. The same thing over here. It was so important for Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree. Phone call's coming in here, by the way. Moshe. I don't know if it's going to do anything, but the phone call's coming in. Just ignore it.
It's going to disconnect the thing.
I know, you have to put in airplane mode. One sec, let me just finish this.
I was 9 years old.
1 second.
I was nine. And I had to do it after that. I started at 9 years old.
One sec.
I didn't know I wanted to do it, but
okay.
I begged my parents to let me do it.
Okay, let me just finish this point. It was so important that he shouldn't eat from the tree. Yetzirah did the nachash that was done, the Yetzirah. In fact, before the sin, the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, was outside of the person. It was the snake. The sin caused that the Yetzirah became inside the person, because now the person's mixed with good and bad. That's what the sin accomplished. That's why it's such a terrible sin. But it was so important for him not to sin that the evil inclination did everything possible in the world that he should come to sin. So that's why he was not able to hold himself back for 3 hours. Because it was so important for him not to sin, the Yetzirah did everything and was successful. He got him to sin. But again, we're going to learn later, not today, we're going to learn more about the sin, that there's a different perspective to the sin than...
I have a question.
What?
So at that time that God brought Adam to this world, and he was so close to him. At that time, another thing that he brought into the world was the evil inclination.
Right.
He brought it right then, in the beginning.
Correct. So, what's the question?
So, if he did bring it, he knew that ultimately everybody... So, he knew that he was a strong force, and people are going to be sinning. So... Yeah, before he was sinning, of course God knew that he was going to be sinning.
God wanted him to sin.
So God wants us to sin all the time, mm-hmm. too.
Mm-hmm. After the fact, not before.
What do you
mean? When we get there, we'll learn. The Medrash says, there's a pasuk in Tirim, Neira Alila B'nei Adam, God basically made this libel against the person. The Medrash says, it was in the plan of God that Adam should sin. It was in the plan. He's punished because God didn't make him do it. But God wanted the Eitz Hadas to happen.
But he put it in his brain to do it.
Yeah, but he could have done not done it or did it. And he did it. Instead of not doing it.
So that's our life every day.
That's it. That's what life is all about. So, good and bad, ups and downs.
So you mean there is like no choice?
We have free choice.
Okay.
That's why I said after the fact.
Yeah, so then...
Before we sin, God says don't sin. Correct? Yes? After we sin, did God want that sin to happen?
Yes.
Because if not, he wouldn't have made it happen. Right? Before the sin, God says, I don't want you to sin. But after the sin, obviously God wants you to do sin because he gave you the ability to sin. But somebody eats not kosher food, yeah? Where do they get the ability to chew it? Not from God. So obviously God is making it happen.
But he put it in your mind.
Correct.
He wanted you to do it.
No, he doesn't want us to do it. After the fact, he wanted us to do it. Okay, when we get to the sin, we'll talk a lot about sins. Okay. Okay, so again, just to get this record straight, now everybody says Gan Eden. But that's not what happened at the beginning of creation. There was, God had an Eden, and he made a Gan. Okay? It says, Hashem planted a Gan in Eden. Meaning there was a place called Eden. Then God made a garden. In the middle of the garden was the Eitz Hadas, good and bad, and the other trees. And then he said there was a river that came out of Eden. Santa says in Pasuk 10, V'nor Yetzim Eden, the river came out from Eden, Lahashkis is a gun, to water the garden, meaning it overflows and waters the garden without the need of man. U'misham Yiparet, from there it becomes separated, V'hoyol Arbar Roshim, and it became four headwaters. So it became four waters. We're going to learn all this, these psukkim, the names, and we'll discuss it. Shema Echad Pishein. The first one's name is Pishein. Okay, most opinions say that's the Nile River. Barbanel comments that it was Pishein with the river Ganges. Okay, whatever that is. Hu HaSeviv is called Eretz HaChavila. That's the river that surrounds the whole land of Chavila. Asher Sham Azov, where the real good gold is. Zahav Arz had the Hitav, and the Pasuk says the gold of that country was unbelievably good. Sham Abdelach, over there is the Bedelach stone. Ve'evin Hashayam, these are very expensive. Usually it's translated as, what do they say over here? Crystal. Some people say it means pearls. And then there was Evan HaShoyam, the Shoyam, which is the onyx and the, all those things. Veshem, that's the first river. The first river was called Pishein that surrounded the land of Chavila. Most commentaries say that's the Nile River. But these, again, are offshoots of the river that came out of Aden. Okay? Then it says, Veshem HaNor HaSheni Gichein. The name of the second river is Gichein. Okay, it's not clear what it is. Hu HaSeviv is called Eretz Kush. It was what surrounded the lands of Kush, which is either Ethiopia or Abyssinia. So again, it's unclear where these rivers are. Shema Nora Shlishi Chideko. The name of the third river is Chideko, which is called the Tigris River. Hu Aleich Kidmas Asher, it goes to the east of Ashur. Vanora Revihu Pras. And the fourth river is Nar Pras, which is the Euphrates. Okay? So, this is the simple Pasuk. Pasuk says, God made the Aden, He made a Gan, He made the trees in the Gan, He made a river coming out of Aden, and then that split into the four tributaries, the four rivers. In Kabbalah and Chassidus, it explains that this is the whole, so to speak, chain of the Hishtalshut, the chain of the worlds. There's a level of Eden, which is pleasure, which is even higher than the level of Chochmah. And from there, the river comes into, which is the level of Bina. And then it goes out into the four tributaries, which represents the four worlds. So these four rivers, not only they're physical, but not only they're physical, they also represent spirituality. There's a level of Eden, which is pleasure, which is the super level. Then you have the Gan, which is very interesting. Gan is a garden, but Gan is 53. Right? How many Torah portions are there? 53. So the Gan, which represents Torah, comes from the level of God's pleasure from Eden. Okay, that's the chain of the worlds coming down. Torah is God's story, God's pleasure. So Torah comes, the 53 parts of the Chumash come from the level of Eden. From Eden it comes into the river, and then it goes into the four tributaries, which represents the four different worlds. Okay?
So what is the super level?
A level higher than intellect. A person begins with the head, and then the heart. The head represents intellect, knowledge, and the heart represents feelings. The level above the head is called enjoyment. That's even higher than intellect. And the level of God's, that level was called God's pleasure, that becomes into the world. It comes into intellect and wisdom and understanding and then emotions, and then it comes down.
So it's our emotions.
Yes. Okay. Let's get, now this is back to discussing. Ve'yikach Hashem Elokim es Adam. God took Adam Arishon, okay? And ve'yinichel b'gan Eden. Now how did God take him? It doesn't mean God picked him up and brought him in. Rashi says God took him with words. Come, it's a beautiful garden, it's a beautiful place. Now the commentators discuss just a very interesting practical thing. Why didn't God create Adam in Gan Eden? Obviously the Pasuk clearly says he did not create him in Gan Eden. that he put Adam into Gan Eden. That means he wasn't in Gan Eden. Now, why didn't God create Adam Rish in Gan Eden? Because God wanted to know there's a real world out there that's not Gan Eden. There's thorns and there's no beautiful... Gan Eden was full of beautiful trees. He says, life is not a bed of roses, like they say in English, right? Life has its difficulties. So he took Adam Rishon. First of all, we learned in Rambam that he was created from the place where the altar was. We learned last week he took earth from all over the world and made Adam Rishon out of it. But he didn't want to put Adam in Gan Eden because he didn't want that he should think everything is good. Okay. Now, what did it do? Hashem took him where he's created from. And as Rashi says, he enticed him with words. Vayenicheo b'gan Eden. He put him into Gan of Eden. La'avda u'lashamra. To work it and to guard it. What is work? What Rashi says, what is the, not Rashi, the other Mephoshim explain. La'avda means to water it, to, you know, cultivate it. And l'shamra means against wild animals. Okay? He told them, put him into Gan Eden to work. The commentaries explain that Adam Rishon didn't eat anything until he went to work first. First he worked, and then he ate from the tree. Which means he didn't taste anything before, and then afterwards Hashem told him, you can eat from all the trees except not from the tree of knowledge. Right? That means he didn't eat anything yet. He was fasting on that day. But Hashem put him, after he made him, he put him into Gan Eden. This is all on Friday, by the way, the day he was created. Hashem put, yeah, it's a busy day for Adam. He got married that day and had a bunch of kids that day and sinned that day and was driven out of Gan Eden that day and he was put in Gan Eden that day. It was a very busy day, that Friday.
Yes, a bunch of kids.
Only 3 hours.
Well, he had Cain and Abel and each one had a twin sister born with them. That's who they married.
That was before?
Before? Well, it depends. Some opinions say before he sinned. Some people say the kids were born after he sinned. Okay. Now, the Mephoshim say a very interesting lesson from this. Hashem put him in Gan Eden, told him work, and then he said, go eat. What's the Torah teaching us? A person should, like he says it in very properly, it's improper for a man to benefit from the world without contributing something beneficial towards the settlement and upkeep of the world. Before you take, first be a giver. Hashem said to Adam Rishon, first I'm going to put you in the world, you're going to work, and then you could benefit. Don't benefit before you give. First you give, and then you take. You don't take and then give. Because if you take, then you never give. That's what happened. So Adam Rishon was told, Vayinech began they love the Shema. But here there's a remarkable lesson, by the way, that we mentioned many times, but it's so fundamental in life, it's unbelievable. The Rebbe asks over here a very simple question. He spoke about this when he turned 70 on his birthday. That was the theme of the 70th birthday of the Rebbe. The Rebbe spoke about this whole concept. And the Rebbe asked a very simple question. God created Adam Rishon, and the Pasuk says, what's the first thing he did? He said, go work. La'avda u'lashama. Go work and guard it. You would think, yeah, a parent who loves the child doesn't make the first thing, go work. Eventually, yeah, but first you support the kid, you take care of him, and then you go work, right? The first, Shalom Aleichem, so to speak. God puts all the medicine in the world. And God says to him, okay, guy, guess what? Go work.
And what was he supposed to do?
Go to school, go to yeshiva, learn how to cook.
Adam HaRishon, what did he do to work at that time?
But the word la'avda, let me explain the word avda. Avda means to work. But there are different words for work. Melacha. Malacha means work. Avda comes from the word eved. Eved means a slave. Okay? There's another pasuk that says in Eiv, Adam la'amal yivaled. A person was born to work. Okay? Not only that, Hashem meets Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush. Yeah? One of the first things God told Moshe at the burning bush is, when you take the nation out of Egypt, Tavdun Esolokim Alohazah. You're gonna serve God, but Tavdun again, Eved. You're gonna serve God on this mountain. The Jewish people weren't even born yet. They left Egypt, they became a nation, right? They became a nation going out of Egypt. The Navi Yechezkel calls Pesach the birthday of the Jewish people. Yeah? Hashem already tells Moshe Rabbeinu, before the Jews are even out, God says, guess what, boy? When you take them out of Egypt, they're gonna go work. La'avda. What is this? God loves us. Why is there such an emphasis on work? Here, the first hello to other nation is go work. The first hello to the Jewish people becoming a nation, go work. And then the pasuk says in Eiv, Adam Lam Yivali, the person was born to work. Why? So the Rebbe explains a phenomenal concept, and this is, helps in people throughout life. If you have this philosophy, life is this easy. When God created the world, we learned before, He created an unfinished world. God created the physical world. God says, I want you to make my home here. I want you to make the world holy. By doing Torah mitzvahs, I want you to make the world holy. So then the Talmud says a very interesting expression. By certain things, the Torah says, you become a nasa shutaf la'kodesh baruch hu b'maisa bereshis. You become a partner to God in creation. Okay, the Talmud says you become a partner with God in creation. What does it mean, a partner with God in creation? God finished half the world, we do the second part. God created the physical world, we bring the spiritual world. Yeah? When the Torah uses a term, the Torah means exactly what it says. The Torah says we become a partner with God. What does a partner mean? In Hebrew, in English, a partner means an equal. If you're not an equal, then you're not a partner. You're a worker. The definition of a shutaf, a partner, is that you are equal. Which means, the Talmud is telling us, when a Jew does what they need to do, they become a partner with God in creation. Meaning, according to this is what the Torah is saying. Instead of being a creation, we become creator. Instead of being a finite, we become infinite. So when a Jew does Torah mitzvahs, and they become this partner with God in creation, because God created half a world, the physical world, and we make the world holy. So basically what's happening is, we become a partner with God in creation. Which means, instead of finite, limited beings, we become infinite, unlimited beings. Instead of being a creation, we become a creator. Got it? Now, if somebody makes $1 million a year, $1 billion a year, that's a limited amount. It might be a lot, but it's still limited. $1 billion is still limited. When you become from limited, unlimited, it's not a limited accomplishment of $1 million, $1 billion, $1 trillion. It's unlimited. You become creator. You become godly. You don't become God, godly. So the Rebbe says, the Rebbe explained, that for a person to become godly, to become creator, to become infinite, any work that we do is nothing compared to the gain. So therefore, God says he creates the Jew, the person. He creates the Jews. The person says, yeah. God says like this. I want you should become infinite. I want, instead of being a creation, Nivra, I want you to become Borei. I want you to become creator. That's a very, very big accomplishment. And there's only one way you could do it. It's through hard work. But the hard work is nothing. It's like you invest $1 and make $1 billion. It's crazy, right? This is even more than that. You do one mitzvah, you become infinite. You do one mitzvah, you become creator. So God says, let me tell you how you can reach that level. You need to become a level of a slave. What is a slave? Like we said, Eved means a slave. Eved means the malach of ma'abit, tanning the hide. When a person changes their nature, okay, then they go Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means limitations. What our nature is what our limitations are. Our natures are our limitations. Our limitations is what our nature is. If you want to go out of your nature, you have to work a little bit. It's not easy to change our nature. But you have to work a little bit. That's called the Avda. But then what happens? You become infinite. That means, if you don't learn at all, and one day you decide to break my nature and learn 10 minutes, or my nature is to learn 15 minutes every day I study Torah. And you know, one day you say, I'm going to break my nature, I'm going to learn 20 minutes. All you learned tomorrow was 5 minutes. But the fact that you broke your nature made you creator, infinite, godly. So tell me, it's not worth it? So that's because he loves us. God loves us so much. He said, why should you become creation? Why should you become limited? God says to us, I love you so much, I want to make you infinite. But it's an unbelievable accomplishment. So no matter what work you do, is nothing. It's like pennies, so to speak. Pennies on the dollar for what you're going to be accomplishing. And that's why Hashem, because he loves us, said, I want you to work, because he wants us to reach the infinite. He wants us to become creator. He wants us to become godly. And that's what life is all about, by the way. Like you were talking before, yeah? Why is this all these challenges? Because God loves us. And the only way we can reach great heights is when we have difficulties on the way. That's love. Huh?
Your Shabbos talk,
right? Yeah, I think so. I remember it. Yeah, journeys, yeah. Okay. That's why God put him in Gan Eden of the Rosh Hashanah.
Go back to the question of if a person doesn't have so many tribulations, it means God doesn't
love you so much.
Doesn't need them to.
No, it means he doesn't love you so much. There's a pasuk. I don't know where it is, but it's brought down. As a sheyehav, Hashem Yochiach. The one God loves, he chastises, he makes your life difficult. Sometimes, in all honesty, we tell God, I know you love me, but don't hug me too tight. Sometimes God loves us so much, he hugs us so tight, it hurts. We say, you know, God, he can love me a little bit less. But the bottom line is, the more challenges somebody has, that means the more God trusts them that they could do it. A person who doesn't have this challenge, we spoke about the Shabbos talking. If a person doesn't have these challenges, that means God doesn't think you can overcome those challenges because you don't get them. If you got them, then you can do it. So the more challenges somebody has, like Adam Rishon, love the Shomer. The more challenges somebody has, that means the more God trusts you that you can overcome these challenges. If you don't have any challenges, I mean, God doesn't care too much about you.
But aren't we like praying?
But by the way, let me ask you. We have challenges, but what really matters is the attitude. If the person's attitude is, I will overcome the challenges, then they're not really challenges. Because his attitude is, we will overcome the challenges. It's when you start kvetching, you know what kvetching is? Zoga Farsi, kvetching. Huh? Bono, gono, whatever, yeah. Chono, bono, whatever.
Nagging.
Okay. When you start, no, kvetching is not nagging. Kvetching is complaining.
Complaining.
When you start complaining, then you can't do the challenges.
Then it gets worse.
It gets worse.
Okay.
The problem is, when God sees we do such a good job passing challenge A, God says, oh, you're so good, I'm going to give you another harder one. And then we do that, God says, guess what? You're great. I'm going to give it. It's like, listen, going first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, right? Every year, you get more work to do. Why? Because you're older. So the more challenges we pass, God says, oh, you're so great. I love you so much. I'm going to give you another challenge to make you even greater than before. And you know when the challenges end? After 120 years, when they put you in a box. That, what are you kvetching about?
I'm not kvetching.
Complaining.
Huh?
Complaining.
That's not kvetching, you know. I already governed.
My father used to say, I mentioned this, my father used to say, you know, you have a chessboard, yeah? So you have the king and the queen and the knight and the bishop and the rook and the pawns, you know? Where are they different? Where is there a difference between king, queen, rooks, all the, only on the board? Once they put you in the box, they're all the same. This, that you're different, you know what I mean?
But then God gave us the...
I said the other day, a shliach called me from Vegas. He told me there was a guy that just died and he's being buried in his car.
He's being buried in his
car?
No, he's getting buried in his car. I don't know, maybe he thinks... I asked him what type of car. I thought maybe a Bentley, a Rolls Royce. Nah, old Lexus.
So he wants to put him down in there with the car?
That's what he wanted.
Is that legal?
Only in Vegas.
I thought they can't even take
What's the expression? What goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas? That's it.
However, I thought they can't even take a sock with them.
That was, Reichman, or Rothschild or Reichman? Reichman, I think.
Reichman was the Sachs.
The Sachs was the Reichman. He left over in his will that he wants to be buried in the Sachs. This very wealthy from, his whole empire was closed Shabbos. He had businesses around the world. Any place where his business was closed on Shabbos. They didn't do all these leniencies with he was closing Shabbos. And when he died, one of the Reichmans left over in his will that he wants to be buried in the Sachs. So the kids... Oh, and then he said there was a note he wrote that should only be opened after the funeral. He left the kids a note. He left two things. He said, I want to be buried in my Sachs, and then he left a note that should be only opened after the funeral. So the kids came to the Chavakadish, you know, the mortuary, the religious mortuary. And they said, you can't be buried in your socks, you're not allowed to. But the kid said, my father was a religious man. He knew that, but he wanted to be buried in his socks. Anyway, they said, it's not happening. We don't care what he said, it's not happening. So, they didn't. Because Allah, they couldn't bury in the socks. After the funeral, they opened up the note, and the father wrote, by now you understand that I couldn't even be buried in my socks. So don't think you could take anything with you. And you left it over to his kids. Even my socks, I couldn't be buried. I didn't take with me even my socks I couldn't take. Don't think you're going to take your houses and your money with you in the ground. No, he was a big, he gave a lot of tzedakah. Tremendous amount of tzedakah. He said, something like that is the way the story goes. Huh? Yeah, you can't even take your socks with you. Okay, to be continued, Mitzvah Hashem, next week.